Chapter 4, Genesis chapter 4. We'll possibly try to get out of here a little bit early so everybody can get home before all this stuff refreezes. I got to be careful saying that because sometimes I say we'll get done early and it don't work that way, but we'll try anyway. Genesis chapter 4, and we'll go ahead and start reading in verse 1 just for a little bit of background here. Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the first fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord, and Abel also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted, and if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him." Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessings that you've given us. Thank you for bringing us into your house this evening to study your word, for keeping the weather held back enough that we could make it in tonight. Just be with the service tonight and help everything that's said and done to bring honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You have the story of two men here. The Bible says Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Now we all know how this story ends. This story's going to end in the first murder that we've seen in human history. But I want to bring out a few points here. It says, verse 3, "In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering, but unto Cain and his offering he had not respect." Now, first of all, I want to make a point here. This is the second generation of humans, right? You've got Adam and Eve, and now you've got Cain and Abel. Well, these two boys already know that bringing an offering to God is what you're supposed to do. Somebody, and we know that it must have been Adam and Eve, but somebody has passed down that need to bring an offering before God. Now, if God respects one offering and he does not respect another offering, then that tells us that when he's been teaching Adam and Eve how to perform sacrifices, he's told them what is an acceptable sacrifice and what is not. I believe when Cain and Abel give their sacrifices, they know what is acceptable before God and what's not acceptable. Now, Cain's going to bring an offering of the fruit of the ground. God's not going to accept that offering because it's not a blood sacrifice. Now, Cain bringing the first fruits of the ground, Cain bringing some stuff that he's grown as a farmer or a gardener, that in and of itself, Cain offering some of his fruits and vegetables to the Lord, is that a bad thing? I believe that if Cain had have offered a blood sacrifice and then given God some of his own stuff on top of that, the story might have been different. But Cain brings what he had. He had fruits and vegetables. Now, do you think Cain had access to a blood sacrifice? The way I picture it, and I may be wrong, but if one's a tiller of the ground and one's a keeper of sheep, they probably did some trading on a pretty regular basis. one needed some meat and the other one needed some vegetables, and they probably had some arrangements worked out. But Cain here brings what he has. He did what was convenient to him. He's already got this. It's time to make a sacrifice. So let's just sacrifice to God what we already have on hand. A lot of people today want to serve God in the most convenient way possible. I can guarantee you, we have not seen a lot of that around here today, but in our area, I guarantee you there were a lot of people that used the weather as an excuse not to go to church today. Because getting out in something like this is not convenient. It's not comfortable. It don't feel good. It's not pleasant. It's not always convenient to do what God wants us to do. Sometimes serving God is not easy. God tells us to come out from the world and be separate, does He not? He even talks about His people being a peculiar people. We're going to be, if we follow the Word of God, if we do things the way God tells us to do it, we're going to be a different kind of people than the lost world around us. Sometimes even a different kind of people than the church around us, the Christians around us. Maybe even different than our own family, but that doesn't matter. We don't do what we do to fit in. We do what we do because that's what God says to do. And it doesn't matter if people accept it or if people don't. What matters is it pleasing to God? I mean, you look in, there's many stories in the Bible where people did things that were inconvenient and nobody understood why. I mean, look at Noah. Nobody understood why he was building a boat out in the middle of the wilderness. But eventually they figured out why. John the Baptist, the Bible says he, what does it say? His raiment was leather. He had a leather girdle and he ate locust and wild honey. Could he have made a better life for himself? More than likely. But he's doing what God called him to do. You know, even the common everyday things that God tells us to do sometimes are not convenient. You know, we've talked about reading your Bible and praying. Is that always convenient? We've talked about doing that on at least a daily basis, preferably at least twice a day. Is that always easy to do? You know, the devil, I believe, I don't think he controls a Christian, but he can affect our life. He can influence us. And if he can get you to sleep through your alarm where you don't have time to get up and read your Bible, he'll do that. If he can get you so busy during the day where you're so worn out that you don't have time to pray before you go to bed, he'll do that. The devil will do whatever he can to make it hard for you to do what's right. A lot of times, talking about the Lord is not convenient. It'd be a lot easier to talk about anything else than talk about the things of God. So he offers what he has. He offers what's convenient. Let's look at Abel. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offerings. Now the firstlings, if I understand right, that would be the firstborn of his sheep and his cattle, right? Basically telling us he put God first. You study through the Old Testament, and there's several times that the firstborn is considered a sacrifice. That God gets his part first. We talk about that with our tithe and our time and our attitude and our influence. Does God get his part first? You know, sometimes we talk about God getting his part first. What about our conversation? Do we talk about God to start with? Or do we talk about God if we run out of other things to talk about? If we've had the conversation and the conversation's going good, then we talk about the things of God. It's kind of funny, but when we moved up to Oklahoma, I found a spot that I like to fish. And there was this I honestly think that he was about half Hispanic and half Cajun. He was an odd guy, but he was always down there at this spot fishing. And I would get to where I'd go down there about one day a week, and he would be down there, and we'd get to talking. And if there was somebody around that hole of water that was fishing that I had never met before, he would take me over and introduce me to them. And he introduced me as the preacher from Swink. And I don't know that he ever knew what my name was. I was just the preacher from Swink. And why he called me the preacher from Swink is we're sitting there catfishing. And a lot of times I went fishing on Monday morning, and I'm sitting there talking about what we preached about Sunday morning and asking him about what happened in his church just to see if he was learning anything in his church or not. But sometimes it's not convenient to talk about the things of God, and sometimes we need to put our conversation with him before our conversation about everything else, because we might not get another chance to talk to that person. If we don't put the things of God first, we might not get an opportunity to put them second. How many times have you ever had a conversation with somebody, and that was the only conversation you ever had with that person? You meet somebody and just passing, and if you don't put the things of God first, if you don't focus on God first, you may lose your opportunity. You may lose your chance. What priority does God have in your life? The firstborn livestock. That's the first prophet, isn't it? You go buy a cow, and that cow has a calf. That calf is your first chance at profit. His firstlings of his flock, those are rightfully his, right? I mean, he's put in the feed, he's put in the time, he's put in the effort, he's done everything that needed to be done to bring that flock to the point that he's got some fresh-born sheep or calves or whatever it was. They were rightfully his. You know, not everything that the world would say is rightfully ours actually belongs to us. You know, the world will say, it's your time. Do it the way you want. It's your family. It's your finances. It's your stuff. Do it your way. You know, our way is not usually the right way. Now, as we grow in the things of God and get knowledge in the Word of God and get influence from the Holy Spirit, there will be times that we look at our family and our finances and our community God's way, and we can actually make the right decision because we're looking at it God's way. But from our human nature standpoint, most of the time, the way our flesh looks at things is not the way God wants us to look at it. Our flesh has a tendency to look at things and say, that's mine. I have the right to do, or I have the right not to. Let me ask you this. How many of you had the right not to come to church tonight? But was it the right thing to do? No, it wasn't. You could have decided not to come. And nobody really, other than out of the Word of God, would have been able to say anything against you for it. Because it's your time. You make the decision what you do with your time. Is it really your time? No, it's not. It's God's time. He had to take the effort in taking care of the flock until there could be some offspring. It took some work to have the right sacrifice. How many of y'all have made a point to let people know that you go to church on Sunday? And I don't mean you're trying to let them know that they should go to church or being a testimony's sake. You're trying to let them know that on this particular day, I can't go do this and I can't go do that because I'm going to be in the house of God. You got to have those discussions with people, right? You got to tell them what you plan to do. In other words, you know God wants you in church. So you put forth the effort to block out the interruptions that might keep you from it. Do you know what God wants you to do the rest of the week? And have you put the same effort into making sure that you have the ability to do what needs to be done? It takes effort sometimes to have a pleasing sacrifice for God. It's not always easy. Now, the Bible says to present our bodies a living sacrifice, and then it says holy and acceptable unto God. In other words, you can offer God a sacrifice that's not holy and not acceptable. It's what happens here in the story of Cain and Abel. God has respect on one. He doesn't have respect on the other. He accepts one sacrifice. He doesn't accept another. You know, we live in a world full of people that have some strange ideas about what God wants. There are people in our world, and I'm not necessarily pointing out one religion, although one is prevalent. There are several different religions that there are people that'll strap a bomb on their body and blow themselves up for the name of their God. They're sacrificing themselves, and they're doing it with the... They're doing it because they honestly believe that's the right thing to do, and they're sacrificing themselves for what they see as what God wants. Does God accept that sacrifice? I don't believe He does. But we can present our bodies, we can present ourselves as a sacrifice that God is pleased with, that is acceptable before God. He sacrificed the life of a lamb to God. Bible says he brought the firstling of his flock and the fat thereof. This was a blood sacrifice. Something shed its life, something shed its blood for this sacrifice. Now, we don't have to go pick a lamb of a certain year and hold it and watch it for blemishes for a certain number of days and then go strike the blood on the doorpost like the children of Israel had to do in Egypt and at the time of the Passover. Why was it important that this was a blood sacrifice instead of a fruit and vegetable sacrifice? I mean, it's still somebody giving something to God that was rightfully theirs out of a heart and an attitude of worship. I believe that when Cain offered the fruits and vegetables out of his garden, he was going to God with an attitude of worship and trying to do something special for God. But why did God accept one and not accept the other? It was all a picture. It was a picture of the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Now, did Cain and Abel understand that? Did they know that several thousand years later, Jesus was going to come and die on the cross for the sins of mankind? Whether they did or not, I don't know. I think some Old Testament saints did understand. Some Old Testament saints knew that a Messiah was coming, but didn't know exactly what he was going to do when they got there. And some of them just had to trust God. But the fact was it what God told them to provide? Who did what God said to do just because God said so? How many times have you been on a job site, you've been in a place where people were working and the boss comes in and the boss tells the people working there to do a certain thing? And after the boss leaves, they stand around debating on whether the boss told them to do the right thing or not, because you do this and this will happen and you do that and that'll happen. And somebody like me is sitting around and finally gets fed up and say, if the boss said to do it the way the boss said to do it. And if it don't work right, then it's the boss's fault, not yours. We need to simply offer the sacrifices. We need to simply do things God's way just because God said so. Like we've already said, sometimes coming to church is not convenient. Sometimes talking about the things of God's not convenient. Studying your Bible's not convenient. Praying's not convenient. You know, as a Christian, God's laid out some pretty clear standards of how we should live our life. You know, sometimes dressing the way God wants you to dress is not convenient. Acting the way God wants you to act is not convenient. Sometimes having, I don't know about y'all, but sometimes having the attitude that God wants me to have is not convenient. My flesh wants to get agitated about some stuff that God don't want me to get agitated about. My flesh sometimes wants to let some things go, just not worry about some things that God says we should stand up and take notice of. You know, sometimes even having the thought process that God wants you to have takes some effort, takes some work. You'll notice if you take time to read your Bible, you'll find yourself thinking about scriptures a lot more. Pray, and you'll find yourself humming the hymns a little bit more instead of thinking about other kinds of stuff. But what happens if you sit around and watch a movie instead of studying your Bible? Not saying that that's always the wrong thing to do. But whatever you put in your mind, that's what you're going to get out, right? So having even your thought process, having something that's pleasing to God, takes some effort. So God says, the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. God was not pleased with Cain's sacrifice. It wasn't the type of sacrifice that God wanted. No matter what we give or what we do, if it's not what God has commanded, God's not pleased. How many Christians look around and they say, well, what I do is better than what so-and-so does. I've never done what they do. You know, we're not comparing ourselves to others. We're comparing ourselves to God's standards. You know, if we were to take Brother Carl for an example, and we set him on one side of this church and we set me on the other side of the church and we started comparing me and Brother Carl, there would probably be some areas that I looked pretty good compared to him. And there's probably a lot of areas that he would look pretty good compared to me and I wouldn't look so good. But our objective is not to be pleasing to each other. Our objective is not to look good compared to each other. Our objective is to be pleasing to God and line up with His standards. Doesn't matter who says something's okay or not okay. Who says something's acceptable and who says something's not acceptable. You'd be surprised as a preacher on Sunday morning, every once in a while you start getting calls from people trying to tell you why they're not going to be at church. And in my mind, I'm thinking, you know, I'm glad you're letting me know that you're not going to be there, and I'm glad that you're telling me why you're not going to be there so I'm not worried about where you're at. But you don't really have to justify whether this is a, I don't want to say an excused absence or not. I'm not the one that judges whether it's okay for you not to be here or not. That's between you and God. Now, I'm not saying that I don't appreciate knowing where people are, so I'm not worried about them when they're not in their place. But it's not. We don't have to justify ourselves in people's eyes. We justify ourselves in God's eyes. And if God is pleased with the sacrifice that we made, that's all that matters. But if we offer something that is not what God commanded, God's not going to be pleased. And there's no justifying it. Cain gets mad at God. The Bible says Cain was very wroth. What does he get mad about? He gets mad because God hasn't accepted his terms. He wanted to offer what he wanted to offer as a sacrifice, and he wanted God to be okay with that. When all the while God had commanded what was to be sacrificed, and all Cain had to do was be okay with God's terms. If Cain had brought what God told him to, none of the rest of it would have mattered. Cain could have brought the blood offering and then said, I want to offer the Lord these tomatoes or these cucumbers or this wheat because this is something I've done with my own hands and I want to present it as an offering to God and God's people. You know, you get into the writings of Moses and you get into the law, and there was actually a place for that. People could bring a grain offering. They could bring an oil offering. They could bring a drink offering. They could bring something and put it before God and say, I've already brought my sin offering. I've already brought the lamb or the goat or the turtle doves or whatever's been required, and it's already been offered on the sacrifice and on the altar, and the blood's been sprinkled on the altar and everything's been done, and then I want to give this. And it was usually something that was either donated or given to the priest or however it worked out. But the point was, Cain didn't offer the sacrifice that God had required. And because God didn't accept it, he got upset. You know, our service to God needs to be on God's terms and not ours. There's times that we know what we think we want to do. But we need to make sure that in the end, we do what God says to do. You know, we can have our own thoughts about what we should do. And everybody else is going to have their opinions about what we should do. But when it's all said and done, our service needs to be on God's terms. Verse 6, and the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? In God's eyes, Cain's bitterness, what Cain is upset about, is unmerited. Basically, God's telling Cain, you don't have any reason to be upset. This is not something for you to get angry about. How many people today are angry at God, and their anger is without cause? People aren't doing things God's way, and when things don't work out, they get upset about it. How many people don't handle their finances God's way? And by not handling your finances God's way, I'm not limiting that to just your tithes and offerings. I'm saying just generally being a good steward of what God has given you. How many people aren't God good stewards, and everybody can see that by the way they live their life, but then they get upset at God because God hadn't blessed them any more than he has? How many people don't raise their family right or don't operate their family right? We had a lesson on how the home ought to operate during Sunday school. How many homes don't operate the way God says to, and then they get upset at God when things don't work out? Even churches do that. Churches get to the point where they want to handle things their own way instead of handling things the way the Word of God says, and then they get all offended when things don't work out and they get upset at God and everybody else. Amen. If you're not doing things according to God's Word, whatever happens, you know, if we were going to put a title on this message, the title of it would be, It's Not God's Fault. If you're not doing things God's way, then whatever happens is not God's fault. You know, we can blame God for things that we do just because we're not willing to do what God says to do. Verse 7, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted, and if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. I believe if you do things God's way, things will work out. Now, it might not always work out the way you wanted them to. But if you do things God's way, I believe it'll work out. You know, I honestly believe that that each one of us being where we are today is God's will for today. If you had asked me 20 years ago where I would be today, it probably wouldn't be here. Things have changed over time. But I believe things are working out the way God wants them to. And if people will continue to be obedient to the things of God, it'll continue to work out God's way. God accepts offerings that are made the right way. He accepted the sacrifice that was made the way it was supposed to. In fact, he told Cain, he said, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. If you would do what's right, you would be accepted. But if you don't do what's right, sin lieth at the door. Cain was in an unhappy situation, but it wasn't God's fault. God was not the one that put him in the situation. Basically, if you don't do right, you deal with the consequences. Any of you ever got pulled over for speeding and tried to somehow say it was the police officer's fault? If you were going over the speed limit, was it really the police officer's fault? No, whose fault was it? It was your fault. If you were breaking the law and you got caught, it was your fault. Right? How many of you have ever said something that you regretted later? Whose fault was it? Now we can point at people and say, you know, they kept pushing me and they kept aggravating me till finally I said such and such or I did such and such. Is it really their fault? Now they might have played a factor. But when it's all said and done, if I say something that I wasn't supposed to say, and me and Brother Jack get into an argument and I say something to him that I shouldn't say to him, it doesn't really matter how much he's pushed me. It's my fault if I say the thing I shouldn't have said. And vice versa. We got to take responsibility for our own actions. Cain here is getting upset at everybody but himself. What do you think? And I'm known for injecting my imagination into stories in the Scripture. Just picture this. Cain comes and he offers the vegetables. Abel comes and he offers the firstling of the flock. He offers a blood sacrifice. God accepts Abel's offering. He doesn't accept Cain's offering. How they knew that God had accepted Abel's and had not accepted Cain's, I don't know. But at the point that they know that Abel's is accepted and Cain's is not, what do you think would have happened if Cain had, at that point, done some dealings with Abel and got a lamb or a sheep or a goat or a calf or whatever and came back and made the correct offering? It might not have been as good as offering it in the first place, but do you think if Cain had come back after God's rejected his fruit offering and made a proper blood sacrifice, you think God would have accepted that? I mean, he does say, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? I believe that's God's way of saying, hey, you go get another sacrifice and offer a blood sacrifice and I will accept it. But Cain gets upset. He's not willing to do things God's way. Many people today blame God for situations that are their own fault. I think just like Cain, if we don't do what's right, what does God tell Cain? If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. You don't make the proper sacrifice, you don't do what God wants you to do, and sin's lying at the door. The way I picture sin lying at the door, I picture this sin being a big, mean, ugly dog. And this big, mean, ugly dog has slipped up on the porch and he's just waiting for somebody to come out the door. And when somebody comes out the door, he's going to do his best to get a hold of them. That's the way sin is. Don't do what God wants you to do. And the next thing you know, sin's laying wait for you everywhere. Bible says the devil's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's looking for somebody to get a hold of. And when we sacrifice to God, if it's not the sacrifice that God demands, we're opening the door for sin and the devil to get a hold on us. You know what's sad today is a lot of people, it's not a matter of Cain offering an unaccepted sacrifice and Abel offering an accepted sacrifice. We live in a world today where a lot of people aren't willing to sacrifice anything. Both of these made a sacrifice and one of them wasn't accepted. That tells me that just because we give something to God don't mean that it's exactly what God wants. And how many people today aren't even trying to make a sacrifice? They're putting no effort into being what God wants them to be. I believe sin will get the best of us if we don't do things God's way. How many people in our world today do you look at and they're just completely wrapped up in sin? It appears that they're completely hopeless. I know that no situation's hopeless. God, the Spirit of God can deal with any heart if the person is willing to listen. But how many people do we see that are so wrapped up in sin, you look at them and just say, there's no hope for them. There's no way out of this. They're so deep into immorality, or they're so deep into addictions, and they're so deep into other things that we can't see a way out for them. The devil will get us that way too, if we're not careful. Even as Christians, we can get to the point where we don't offer God the sacrifices that God wants us to do. We start taking the path of just doing what's convenient. And sooner or later, nothing's convenient. And we're not offering God any sacrifice. God's not pleased with us. We're not doing what God wants us to do, and sin's lying at the door. Or it's very possible the doors even got open and sin's made it inside. We need to make sure that we're doing what God tells us to do and doing it God's way. How easy is it to... We've mentioned going to the house of God not being convenient. How easy is it for somebody to get out of the house of God? I'm sure everybody in here that's been in church very long have seen this exact situation happen. Somebody that's faithful to church. Every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, and every Wednesday night, they're always there. You can count on them. And then one Wednesday night, something comes up. And they decide, God will understand if I miss just this once. Then 6 months later, something else comes up. And their mind goes back and says, well, a few months ago I missed a Wednesday night and nothing really bad happened, so I can probably get by with this one too. And there for a while it's about once every year or once every 6 months. Then it goes to once every 2 or 3 months. And then once a month. And next thing you know, they're not there on Wednesday night at all. And then sooner or later something comes up and they think it won't hurt to miss just one Sunday night. Next thing you know, now maybe they're missing a few Sunday mornings here and there, and before you know it, they're not in church at all. Because they've opened the door and let the devil in. They've quit doing things God's way, and it gets easier and easier and easier to miss the things of God. Cain offered a sacrifice that God was not pleased with. And before you know it, before it's all said and done, Cain's going to commit even a worse sin, and he's going to literally be marked by God. God's going to put a mark on Cain because of what he's done. And it all started with offering a sacrifice that wasn't what God commanded. And then it led to getting angry at God because he hadn't done what he was supposed to do. there's probably all of us at some area of our life right in all of these stages. There's areas of our life where we haven't done what God wants us to do and things aren't going right and we've got a little irritated at God. There's areas of our life that we're doing our best to offer a sacrifice, but we're not offering the proper sacrifice. Are we doing what God has commanded? Get into your Bible. That's why I highly encourage us to spend time in our Bible. The commandments of God are pretty simple. Some of them are even as plain as thou shalt or thou shalt not. We can understand those. We get to following the commandments of God and doing what God tells us to do. God will show us some more. And we can get to the place where by obeying God, we're drawing closer to the things of God instead of drawing away. You know, Cain ended up, the Bible calls him a vagabond, does it not? Abel probably was closer to God than he was before. Until the end, at least. I mean, he probably was even after the end. I don't know. But basically, one offered a sacrifice and one put himself in a position to have the respect of God and to draw closer to God. And the other put himself in a position that caused him to be driven out from the land and be a stranger and a pilgrim in the land and actually a marked man in God's eyes. Could we do the same? You know, we can offer things to God. We can present ourselves in a way that God's pleased with, that'll draw us closer to God. Or we can allow the devil an opportunity. Sin's lying at the door. We can allow the devil an opportunity to drag us a little further away from the things of God. And it all starts with, are we willing to give God what He desires? What He deserves. Are we willing to put forth the effort to be the kind of sacrifice that God expects of us or not? As you go through this week, remember to, we didn't get into the verse, we kind of quoted it a little bit, but the Bible says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. As you're going through this week, think about your life as a sacrifice to God. And ask yourself, compared to the Word of God, whether God's pleased with the sacrifice that you're making. Let's stand and bow our heads. Daddy, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?